Hebrews chapter 2, and I want us to begin reading verse 1. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Notice once again the admonishment that we receive here from Hebrews chapter 2, that we should give heed, in fact, earnest heed, to the things which we have heard. You know, you've heard a lot of truth coming out of this church. You've heard a lot of truth preached by myself, by Pastor Allen, by Carolyn, by other ministers that are a part of this church. There's been a lot of truth that has come forth over the last couple of years in this church. I've been preaching truth for the last 33 years. I've been receiving truth for the last 33 years. And notice here that he says that we must give earnest heed to the things which we have heard. If we don't, they might slip. Now, that's what I want to deal with today, because that's happened to me. And if you're like me, it's happened to you. Each and every one of us at one time or another have allowed revelations slip. Things that we heard that revolutionized our lives, changed our lives, produced results for us, and yet somewhere along the line, you know, not consciously, not deliberately, but you just let them slip. I know in the service last night, or Friday night, in Back to the Basics, I was talking about how the Lord had dealt with me over the last several days and weeks about a revelation that I had allowed to slip. And he's continued to deal with me about it, and I want to share it with you today. Now notice once again, he says that it's possible that you can let a revelation slip away. In other words, that means that you're not acting on it like you once did. That means that you're not appropriating that spiritual law in your life like you once did. How many of you remember when you first found out about the power of your words? How many of you remember that day? Didn't it make a change in your life? I mean, I'll never forget. Back there in 1969, when Kenneth Copeland came to our hometown and preached on the Word of Faith, and began to talk about the power of words. Prior to that, I had no idea that my words had anything to do with my outcome. I just thought it was my lot in life. I just thought, you know, somebody's picking on me. But I discovered from the Bible, from Kenneth Copeland's teaching, and of course he learned this from Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin, we began to learn about the power of words. Brother Copeland gave the illustration how that when he discovered this law, that he and Gloria made a pact with one another. And they said, if either one of us make negative confessions, the other one has right to correct us, or to correct the other person. And he said many times that, you know, they'd just be going through the day and suddenly this negative confession would come out, and the other one would say, all right, that's your confession, I'm in agreement with it. And they'd say, no, don't agree with that, let me correct that confession. And so we saw it working for them, and we decided we'd do it in our home as well. So Carol and I began to make that same pact that if either one of us talked negative, that the other had the right to say, okay, that's your confession. I set myself in agreement with it. If that's what you want coming to pass in your life, I agree. And I'd say, no, don't agree with that. Let me correct that. Let me rewind this tape, praise God. Amen. And, you know, after a while, it got to where less and less negative confessions were coming out of our mouth. Now, you can't just talk positive just because you decide to. You've been programmed with a lot of negative things. You have to reprogram your spirit. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever's in you in abundance is what's going to come out of your mouth. And so, it's not a matter of just saying, I will not make a negative confession, I will not make a negative confession, I will not make a negative confession. You're not going to do it that way. The way you're going to do it, you're going to have to reprogram your spirit. I mean, you are computer people. You ever have to reprogram your computer? You have to feed it new information, get rid of an old program, install a new program? Well, that's exactly what you have to do with your spirit man. Whatever you put in it is what's going to come out of it. And so not only were we watching one another and helping one another with our confessions, but we were filling our spirit with the Word of God. And then it suddenly began a new lifestyle. Now, I don't have to work up a good confession now. I don't go around saying, oh, I hope I make a good confession today. Oh, I hope I make a good confession today. Oh, I hope I don't make a negative confession today. I don't do that. I'm full of the Word of God. Consequently, the Word of God comes out of my mouth. Amen. Good confessions come out of my mouth. Now, every once in a while, I might slip. Don't look at me. You slip too. Every once in a while, you know, maybe under pressure or, you know, under a lot of stress or something, I catch myself, or maybe I hadn't been in the Word that day, you know, or maybe I've been around a lot of carnality or carnal-minded people, or I've been watching TV too much, and the next thing you know, something negative comes out, and you think, where in the world did that come from? Because it got down into your spirit. And if you don't correct it, and you keep going days and days and days without correcting it, next thing you know, you've done exactly what Hebrews 2 warns you against. You've let a revelation slip. Can you say amen? Now, this is what I want us to talk about this morning, recapturing our revelation of God's favor. If there's any one thing that has blessed my life more than anything else, is the revelation God gave me about walking in His favor. And I received that revelation over 30 years ago. It blessed me then. It's blessed me over the last 30 years. And I noticed here recently the Lord dealing with me again about my allowing it to slip. I have declared for most of my Christian life that I walk in the favor of God. And yet there are times when I have begun to realize, particularly here recently, that I've gone days without saying it, without declaring it. And that's not like me, because normally I don't leave the house without declaring that I walk in the favor of God, that the favor of God is on me, that the favor of God opens doors for me that no man can shut, that God's favor changes rules and regulations and policies and even changes governments if necessary to get me through a door, praise God. Amen. I wrote a book here a few years ago on walking in divine favor. And that book has gone all over the world. And I've watched many churches take the confessions about favor in one particular chapter of that book and use it over their tithes and offerings on Sundays. And many churches I've gone to, I recognize on their, screen, I've noticed them confessing things that they got out of that book. I am the favor man. I mean, if there's any one thing people recognize this ministry for, is preaching on the favor of God. And yet the favor preacher lets it slip. And so have you from time to time. But the Spirit of God got all over me again. In fact, I want to tell you exactly what He said. I'm going to read it to you word for word. And then after He got on me, He said, I can get on thee. Praise the Lord. The Lord reminded me of how I had let this revelation of walking in the favor of God slip. He said, I've spoken to you about this in the past, and now I'm telling you again. You're not declaring my favor on your life as consistently as you once did. And consequently, you're not experiencing as many extraordinary things happening in your life. Now, I know that every time that I consistently declared the favor of God over my life, extraordinary things were happening, and I'm talking about almost on a daily basis. I mean, unusual, extraordinary, out of the ordinary things were happening in my life. He went on to say, and there are many battles that you have been through that would not have taken nearly as long to win had you been declaring my favor as you once did. I mean, if you've been through some battles that have just continued and you're still standing for them, and they should have been won by now. Anybody can identify with that? I mean, I'm not a novice. I know how to believe God. I know how to walk in faith. I know how to overcome Satan's adversities. And yet there are some battles that I've been through over the last several months. Some battles I went through last year that I should have gotten victory over much sooner than what it took. And some battles I'm experiencing right now that I should have won a long time ago. You know, sometimes you just have to stop and quit. And I didn't do this, but it is something that is commonly done with many of God's people. Is stop blaming God. God's not the problem. God, why aren't you listening? He is. God, why aren't you doing something? He is. God, why are you taking so long? He's not. The problem most of the time with delays is us. Thank you for your enthusiasm over that revelation. I think I heard one right, and that was from Todd. Thank you, Todd. Amen. The delays are not on God's part. Delays are usually because of what we're doing. There's nothing wrong with God. There's nothing wrong with God's Word. There's nothing wrong with the Holy Ghost. Nothing wrong with the angels. Nothing wrong with Jesus. Did I leave anybody else? You and me. Amen. We miss it sometimes. And sometimes it's because we've begun to talk negative again. We've begun to talk the problem rather than the promise. You know, we begin to murmur and complain and pity parties and all of that kind of thing. And the next thing you know, we have prolonged the manifestation of our victory. Now, I want you to turn to Psalm 44, if you will, please. Psalm 44. And I want to read this scripture to you. God showed me this years ago, and why in the world I let go of it, I do not know. But I am stirred up again, praise God. Psalm 44, and let's look at verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand, and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. The Amplified says, because you were favorable toward them. Notice he's saying here that the battle that these people endured or they experienced, the victory did not come because of their own might, their own strength, and their own willpower. Notice what they were believing for, the land that God had promised. It didn't come to them through their own strength and their own might. God said the reason this land that I promised you came to you was because I was favorable toward you. In other words, it was because of my favor on your life. Now, the Lord mentioned this to me yesterday, and I hadn't thought of it quite this way, but it certainly made sense to me. He asked me the question. He said, why do I bestow my favor on my people? What is the primary purpose? Well, I thought, and I could come up with a number of answers, but he said, primarily for success. The primary reason that God would bestow His favor on you is for your success. Now, God has a motive for wanting you being successful because it makes Him look good. Amen? It makes Him look good, particularly when you attribute your success to God. When you are declaring, when someone asks you, how did you do that? How did you become so successful? How did you get that promotion? How did you become the salesman of the year? When you don't have nearly as much expertise as some of the other people in this company, or you don't have the number of years in training, how did you do that? And you say, it's God. It's the favor of God on my life. See, that favor on your life is for the primary purpose of bringing success into your life so that God will look good. God will become attractive to somebody else. Amen? So notice he said, this battle was won not by your doing, but because I was favorable toward you. My favor was on your life, and as a result of it, you possessed what I had promised. How many of you are ready to possess? I mean, literally possess what God has promised you. Amen? I want it in my hands right now. How about you? Amen. If God has promised me prosperity, and God has promised me divine help, and God has promised me certain things from His Word, excuse me, as we heard Pastor Allen talk about from Deuteronomy chapter 28 this morning, you know, those things are promised us. The head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. Lending and not having to borrow. That's one of our blessings. That's a promise to the seed of Abraham. And praise God, we are the seed of Abraham. Well, I want in my hands what is promised in that book. I don't want it to just be words in a book. I want it to be reality in my life. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? And notice he says that the way that they were able to possess what he had promised them was because he was favorable toward them. Amen. I want every one of you in here to say, The favor of God
is on my life.
All of you watching by way of television, join with us and say it right now. The favor of God is on my life. Say it again. The favor of God is on my life. Hallelujah. Amen. Notice. Yeah, give the Lord a shout. He deserves it. Notice that it was God's favor on their lives that enabled them to be successful. Once again, the Holy Spirit said to me yesterday that the favor of God is primarily for our success, so that God will look good to someone else. The favor of God on our lives is what enables us to do what we cannot do on our own. The favor of God enables us to do supernatural things. You could say the favor of God is what causes God's super to be added to our natural. Hallelujah. And as a result, the supernatural takes place. I have discovered in my life over the years that favor can produce what money can't buy. Amen. I've also noticed that there are many times the favor of God will produce something in my life that I didn't even have to have the money for. Amen. The Bible does say that men shall give unto your bosom. If you're a sower of seed, amen. There was a person one time who worked in this ministry who do not work here anymore. And it was their strife and unbelief that cost them their job. But they made this statement. In my presence, you know, how in the world do you expect to ever have that jet you're believing for when you don't even have any money in the airplane account? Well, dear God, welcome to the ministry. That's like asking me, how do you expect to breathe when you get up this morning? I mean, I've never had the money in the account when God told me to do something. Not one time has God ever said, do this, do that, build this, build that, buy this, do this, stretch here, stretch there, expand here. And by the way, how much money you got? He's never asked me, how much money do you have? He just said, do this, do that, believe for this, stand for that. He just acted like the money would come. Amen. You know, ask, how in the world do you ever expect to have a $1.5 million jet when you don't even have $100 in an aviation account? I said, the same way I've got every other airplane this ministry's ever owned. Sow and reap. Sow and reap. Seed time and harvest. There's only been one airplane I had to buy in this ministry. All the others were given to me. And the one I bought was my fault. That's right. I was helping God. He was taking too long. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And that airplane was an Ishmael and not an Isaac. Ishmaels are born out of the flesh. That's when you try to help God. Isaacs are born out of the Spirit. They're born from faith. As a man came down from Michigan to show me an airplane, he said, I believe this is the airplane God wants you to have, and I'm going to give it to you at wholesale price. He said, meet me out at Meacham Field, and let's talk about it. I went out there. I wanted it before I ever saw it. I needed an airplane right then. If it had been a lawnmower with wings, I'd have bought it. You know, I mean, I was desperate for another airplane. This ministry can't function without an airplane. And so I was already prepared to buy the thing before I ever saw it. Got out there and saw it, and I said, yeah, this is God. And the price he gave me, this has got to be God. But I didn't have the money for it, and borrowed the money for it. And God had already told me, I don't want you ever flying an airplane that's got debt on it. I said, but God, you're taking too long. I need it now. I can believe for the money after I get the airplane. And the note wasn't all that great, and the price of the airplane wasn't all that great. In fact, we've done repairs on the one we have now that cost more than that whole airplane cost back then. I borrowed the money for that thing, and we flew it around, and I'm telling you, the paying a note every month on that thing was the hardest thing in the world I've ever done. I asked the Lord, I said, why aren't you helping me here? He said, you produced this, Ishmael. I didn't. I said, well, what can I do about it? He said, if you'll believe me to pay it off and sow it and give it away, I'll bless you with the airplane I want you to have. I said, well, if I can believe for the money to pay it off, I'll just keep it, thank you. He said, no, it won't work that way. Don't act like you haven't talked to God like that. You've talked to God like that, and you know you have. And I said, okay. So I believe God for the money to pay it off. I mean, that money came so quickly. It came so quickly to pay that airplane off. I said, well, who you want me to give this airplane to? He said, give it to Happy Caldwell. So I invited Happy to come be in a meeting with me. And while he was there, I gave that airplane to him. And you know that airplane was an Isaac to him? It was not an Ishmael. It was a blessing to him. It was an Isaac to me. It was a curse. But it was a blessing to him. Amen? That's the only airplane this minister's ever owned that I had to buy. Every other one was given to me, including the $1.5 million jet we fly right now. Paid for. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the blessing of God. That's the favor of God. Amen. Favor can produce what money cannot buy. You don't have to have a ton of money in the bank if you got the favor of God on your life. But I believe we need to take this a step further and believe that the favor of God will produce a ton of money in the bank. Praise God. Can you say amen? So notice here, he tells us that favor is for our success so that our success will make God look good in the lives of other people. The favor of God on our lives guarantees victory no matter how much our adversary opposes us. I love this verse in Psalm 41:11. It says, by this I know that thou favorest me because my enemy does not triumph over me. Notice he says, I know the favor of God is on my life. And one of the reasons I know is because my enemy never triumphs over me. Boy, what a powerful promise. Come on, say it with me.
I know.
The favor of God is on my life because my enemy never triumphs over me. Come on, give the Lord a shout for that. Praise God. David is saying here that every time a battle is won in his life, he attributes it to the favor of God on his life. If he wins a battle, he says, it's because the favor of God was on my life. If my adversary cannot triumph over me, it's because the favor of God is on my life. He's saying that there is absolutely no way that he can be defeated when he knows that the favor of God is resting on his life. Now, you could say that David, and listen to this statement, you could say that David had a lot of faith in the favor of God. I've never thought of it like that, even though I operated in it. But David is declaring, I have faith in what God's favor can do. You know, we need to start developing a faith in the favor of God, a confidence in the favor of God, what the favor of God can do. It would do you well to go through your Bible and look at all the references where the favor of God is mentioned and see what it produces. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the more stories and illustrations from the Bible that you can read and meditate on about what favor did for someone, then it's going to build faith in the favor of God. David had this faith in God's favor. He believed that if the favor of God was on him, there was no way that he could possibly be defeated. If there's any one thing that I know is the favor of God is on my life. I'm convinced of it. It's a revelation that I received over 30 years ago. I've seen the results of it many, many times in my life. However, I've also noticed this. Now listen to this part closely. I've also noticed this, and particularly in the last few days, that there seems to be a connection between the manifestation of God's favor and the declaration of God's favor. Do you hear what I said? There seems to be this connection between the manifestations of God's favor on your life and your declaring God's favor. Now, I prayed about this quite lengthy yesterday and asking God to show me this because I didn't want to just come in here and just throw out something to you and not be able to back it scripturally. I've noticed from experience, but I want to see it from the scripture, that if I don't declare the favor of God, then I don't see manifestations of it as frequently as I do when I am consistently declaring it. There's something about releasing that from your mouth. There's something about declaring God's favor on your life. When I stop declaring it, I don't see as many manifestations of the extraordinary. When I am declaring it consistently, I see more and more unusual blessings and miracles happening in my life. Now, you would think just from that alone that I would never let that revelation slip. And I didn't consciously sit down one day and say, I'm not going to declare God's favors on my life anymore. I didn't do that. I don't know. I can't tell you why it ceased on a consistent basis. I'm not talking about I hadn't said it in years. I'm talking about I realized days would go by. In my head, I'm thinking favor of God's on me, but I found it's not enough just being in your head. You got to say it. You got to release it. You got to declare it. God's got my attention again about it. And I'm promising myself, this is the last time he's going to have to talk to me about this. Amen. Because I need the favor of God. I need extraordinary, miraculous, unusual things happening in my life on a daily basis. And I hope that my teaching you about it this morning will stir you up about it as well. Amen. How many of you need the favor of God on your life right now? Say this out loud. God's favor on my life produces success. Say it again. God's favor on my life produces success. All right, now listen to this very closely. We all know the story of Job. We know what Job went through. We've got 42 chapters of perhaps the greatest crises ever recorded in history over a 9-month period. Book of Job covers between 9 to 12 months of that man's life. And there's perhaps no one that you've ever known that went through more than Job did in a period of 9 to 12 months. But listen what Job said in Job 10, verse 12. Thou hast granted me life and favor. You have granted me life and favor. Now, we know what Job went through. And we know he was going through it when he made that statement. Because this is only chapter 10. He didn't get restored and delivered until chapter 42. Right? I mean, we still got a whole lot of adversity ahead of him that we will read if we read all the book of Job. And yet in chapter 10, he is decreeing, you have granted me favor. And the Spirit of God asked me yesterday, he said, do you suppose that declaration in the midst of that adversity had anything to do with the turnaround in his life? He said it had everything to do with it, along with some other principles that you discover from studying the book of Job. But listen what Job said in Job 10, verse 12. Thou hast granted me life and favor. You have granted me life and favor. Now, we know what Job went through. And we know he was going through it when he made that statement. Because this is only chapter 10. He didn't get restored and delivered until chapter 42, right? I mean, we still got a whole lot of adversity ahead of him that we will read if we read all the book of Job. And yet in chapter 10, he is decreeing, you have granted me favor. And the Spirit of God asked me yesterday, he said, do you suppose that declaration in the midst of that adversity had anything to do with the turnaround in his life? He said it had everything to do with it, along with some other principles that you discover from studying the book of Job. Job was declaring the favor of God on him when everything around him was falling apart. He was declaring the favor of God on his life when in the natural he would have done just as well to just give up and quit, turn his back on God like his wife suggested. But he declared that God's favor has been granted me. Having the favor of God, listen to this statement, does not exempt you from trials. Having the favor of God on your life does not mean you'll never have another problem. Having the favor of God on your life does not mean that you'll never be faced with another challenge. What it does mean is you will not be destroyed by it. Hallelujah. Having the favor on your God means, favor of God on your life means that you will not be defeated. As long as you're on this planet, you're going to face trials. As long as you're on this planet, you're going to have challenges in your life. But don't rule out what I call the favor factor. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through, no matter how severe the adversity, if the favor of God is on your life, then you cannot, will not be defeated. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Could it be that we need to decree in the midst of our adversity, you have granted me favor. You have granted me favor. Job did it when everything around him was being taken from him. Everything around him was being destroyed. And yet he's still standing in the midst of that and declaring, your favor is on my life. It had everything to do with his turnaround, with his restoration, with his deliverance. There is a connection between the declaring the favor of God and the manifestation of the favor of God. In Psalm 91, it's a very familiar psalm to you. Would you turn there for a moment and let me point out a biblical truth to you that perhaps you've overlooked. Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2, I will say. Highlight that phrase. I will say. Now look how verse 3 starts. Surely he shall. Notice the psalmist said, I will say something, and as a result of what I say, he shall do something with my words. I will say and he shall do. I will say and he shall do. I will say and he shall do. Notice the connection between the declaration and the manifestation. I will say, God will do. I will say, and God will do. Now, I can almost hear somebody thinking out loud, not in this auditorium, somebody watching TV. I caught you. Well, you sound like you're just ordering God around. No, I'm not ordering God around. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God's ordered me to say what he says in his word about me. God has commanded me to say, to speak words of faith. I'm not ordering God around. I'm just repeating what he told me to say. David said, I will say of the Lord, and he shall deliver me. There is a divine connection between your declaring every day of your life before you leave your house. Perhaps the last thing you do before you close your eyes at night, the favor of God is on me. The favor of God goes before me. Today the favor of God will bring success into my life. Today the favor of God will keep my enemy from triumphing over me. Hallelujah. I say, and he shall deliver me. And he shall bless me. And he shall bring success into my life. I say it, and he shall. There is this divine connection. It's not enough to just have a revelation of the favor of God and thinking in your head, you know, well, I know I have the favor of God. I know the favor of God's on me. That's not enough. That's not enough. I have to declare it. I have to charge the atmosphere with the favor of God. Can you say amen? Are you getting this today? All right, now, the primary way that the Bible teaches us that our faith is released is how? Through words. Why is that so? Because the Bible says that we have the God kind of faith. Mark 11:22, Jesus said, have the faith of God. Another translation says, have the God kind of faith. The reason that the primary way our faith is released is through our words is because that's the way the God kind of faith operates. God said in Genesis chapter 1, let there be, and there was. Genesis 1:9 says, and God said, and it was so. That's the way God releases his faith, through words. God said, and it was so. And I have the God kind of faith, so why can't I say, Jerry said, and it was so? You're not listening. God said, and it was so. Jesus told me to have the God kind of faith. So it should be said, Jerry said, and it was so. If I have the God kind of faith, then in other words, the word of God coming out of my mouth should be just as creative and powerful as it is coming out of the mouth of God or his son Jesus. If I'm operating in the same faith. Can you say amen? It's the same way that Jesus released His faith, through words. And then He tells us in the 11th chapter of Mark, the 23rd verse, whosoever shall say, and you know the rest of it, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, so forth, and then it says, and shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, then he shall have whatsoever he saith. Notice Jesus commanded his disciples, and I'm a disciple of Jesus, commanded them to speak words of faith, not doubt in their heart, and then he promised, and you'll have whatsoever you say. Well, what's going to happen to me if I get up every day declaring the favor of God goes before me? The favor of God surrounds me. The favor of God produces success in my life. The favor of God stops my enemy from triumphing over me. If I believe that in my heart and do not doubt, then I'm going to have whatsoever I say. Can you say amen? There is this divine connection between the declaring of the favor of God and the manifestations of it in your life. We must speak our faith in God's favor. Speak your faith in God's favor. Do it every day. In fact, start your day declaring that God's favor is on you and that God's favor goes before you. The favor of God is what kept promoting Joseph after he was sold into slavery. I don't care where you put this man. Put him in prison. Put him in the lowest pit. Put him in the cell furthest from the sunshine. I don't care where you put this man. Because the favor of God was on him, he was promoted everywhere he went, even as a slave in Egypt. And eventually, the Bible says in Genesis 39:21, but the Lord was with Joseph and gave him favor. And eventually, he became the prime minister of Egypt because of the favor of God that was on this man. Before Moses died, this is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33, before Moses died, he blessed the children of Israel. And when he came to a man by the name of Nephthalah, he declared this about this man. He said, O Nephthalah, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord. Notice he said, you are satisfied with the favor of God, and the blessing of God is on your life. Notice also there is a connection between the favor of God and the blessing of God. When the favor of God is on you, so is the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Apparently God's favor on your life will produce God's blessings in your life. The Hebrew word translated favor means goodwill, pleasure, or kindness. Goodwill, pleasure, or kindness. When the favor of God was on this man's life, then the kindness of God, the goodwill of God, the pleasure of God was on his life. In other words, you could say it brings pleasure to God when he's able to demonstrate his goodness and his kindness toward you. God gets a kick out of it. God gets great pleasure out of being able to demonstrate his favor in your behalf. Psalm 35, verse 27 says, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Notice God gets pleasure out of our prosperity, and prosperity is a result of favor. When the favor of God's on your life, prosperity will come into your life. Now here's a great verse. Not that all the others weren't great. Oh, but this one. Psalm 30, verse 5, the Amplified Bible says, his favor is for a lifetime. Woo, glory. His favor is for a lifetime. What does that say? It says to me, wow, boy, hallelujah. Hot dog and whatever else. Amen. The favor of God is for a lifetime. In other words, God wants me to walk in his favor for the rest of my life. It is for a lifetime. No wonder David declared in Psalm 23:6, surely goodness. Remember now, favor translated from the Hebrew is the goodness of God, the goodwill of God, the kindness of God. No wonder David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How long? All the days of my life. Hallelujah. Why? The favor of God on a man or a woman in covenant with him is for a lifetime. Hallelujah. Glory. Come on, shout somebody. Amen. Listen to what David said in another psalm, Psalm 5, verse 12, from the Amplified. For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous, and you will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor. Surround him. If I'm surrounded with the favor of God, that means I take it with me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I am to expect the favor of God. Amen. At the workplace, at home, at the shopping center, at the airport. I left here a week ago this past Monday for Singapore. Joe was already over there waiting for me. He'd already preached all over that country. And I was to arrive there last Tuesday, I believe it was Tuesday a week ago. I went out here to the airport and I had my ticket to get on that jumbo jet to make a nonstop flight from here to Tokyo. Walked up to the counter, handed them my ticket. And they upgraded me to first class. And I didn't have to pay first class price. That's the favor of God. My director in the United Kingdom, Jeff Rouch, he has been with me so many times that he begins to expect it now. When I get ready to leave the UK and he takes me to the airport there in London and I walk up to the counter, he just stands back there kind of grinning to see if it's going to happen again. I turn around and grin. Upgrade to first class, praise God. Favor of God. I had a flight attendant come back one time just before we took off. I was back in the class that I had paid for. I put my luggage up, you know, and we're getting ready to take off, and I'm sitting back there. The plane is full, and this flight attendant came back and said, "Are you Jerry Savelle?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Come with me, please." I said, "Where?" She said, "Well, we have a seat for you up in first class." And the man next to me said, "Well, who are you?" I said, "It's the favor of God, sir. See you later. Praise God." Amen. It's the favor of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I was on a flight to Los Angeles one time. And the flight attendant came by and she said, "I know who you are. In fact, I have one of your books in my suitcase. And when I get through serving the people, I'm going to come back and have you autograph it." I said, "Great, I'd be happy to." In a little while, she came back with three other flight attendants. They all sat in the aisle with my books, wanting me to sign them. And then wanting me to preach to them, talking to me about what I said in that book. And then one of them said, "Oh, by the way, the captain is a Christian. He knows who you are. I'm going to go tell him that you're back here." In a little while, the captain came down, sat in the floor in front of me, and we're just preaching to one another. And in a little while, they all left, and the guy next to me said, "Well, I don't know who you are, but I can tell you one thing. I ain't had any service since you got on this plane." I said, "It's the favor of God." Hallelujah. If the favor of God surrounds you, then I mean it goes everywhere with you. You say, "Well, I'm going to go to the airport and try that." That's not faith in the favor of God. You're experimenting. You're not convinced yet. You say, "Well, what if you go out there today and you don't get bumped up to first class?" It ain't over yet. They've jerked me out of my seat halfway across the ocean, put me up front. One time, I was coming from South Africa. I can tell you story after story of the favor of God. I was coming back from South Africa, and while I was there, I went to a Zulu village, and I ministered to the Zulu people. And afterwards, the chief of this Zulu village gave me one of his personal spears. It had been his father's and his grandfather's. It was back to when this is the way they fought other tribes with spears. And he gave me this spear. I mean, it was tall. I thought it was a precious gift. And so I get to Johannesburg, and I got my spear in my hand, and I'm checking in at the airport. This is way back before terrorist attacks, okay? And I walked in there and was checking in. Well, I don't want to check this spear in with the suitcases. This thing has got history to it, you know, and it's valuable to me. And so I checked my luggage in, and they said, "How many carry-on?" I said, "One briefcase and a spear." They said, "You can't carry that spear on this flight." I said, "Well, I'm not checking it in. This is too valuable." About that time, a man walked up behind me, and it turned out to be the captain of my flight. He said, "Man, where'd you get that spear?" I told him the story. I said, "They won't let me put it on the flight." He said, "They will too. I'll put it right behind my seat in the cockpit, and I'll fly it home and watch it for you, praise God." That's the favor of God, amen? I mean, the captain himself took care of my spear, praise God. Amen. Favor of God surrounds us. But there's something about declaring it. "I will say, and he shall." You can't leave out the declaring it. Do you see the connection? Amen? All right. We're surrounded by God's favor. That means I can expect his favor to manifest everywhere I go. But I still must declare it if I'm going to see it. In the New Testament, the Greek word translated favor literally means graciousness. The graciousness of God. In fact, most of the time in the New Testament where you see the word grace, you could substitute it for the word favor. In Ephesians 1:7, the Amplified says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the remission, the forgiveness of our offenses, our shortcomings, and our trespasses, in accordance with," listen to this last statement, "the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor." In other words, I'm saved today because of his gracious favor. I'm redeemed today. I'm forgiven today because of his gracious favor. Can you say amen? I believe God wants to do a whole lot more in our lives than we've allowed him to do. I believe he wants us to see his favor, manifest his favor in our lives like no other generation has ever experienced. Paul said in Ephesians 2:7 that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, the limitless, the surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, his kindness and his goodness toward us in Christ Jesus. God says, "I'm looking for a people who will allow me to demonstrate the limitless, the immeasurable, and the surpassing graciousness of my favor." Do we have any candidates in here today? Praise God. Amen. "Search no more, Lord, here am I." So let's recapture our revelation. Let's not let it slip again regarding the favor of God. Let's declare it every day of our lives. I close it now with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 from the Amplified. He says that the favor of God will produce benefits and opportunities. Favor of God, 2 Corinthians 4, 1, will produce benefits and opportunities. When the favor of God is on your life, there will come opportunities your way. Opportunities for increase. Opportunities for promotion. Opportunities for success. Benefits. And you and I, as the people of God, need to begin to expect it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's all lift our hands, and those of you